did Boogie Nights. If you're listening to me, you're not watching the movie, which you should probably be doing. But there's a lot of stuff here. There's Mark Wahlberg recorded in his apartment with many beers in front of him and me. And there's also John C. Reilly and Don Cheadle, who were recorded late one Sunday night in my apartment. Julianne Moore, actually, in the same afternoon, but we were very sober at that point in my apartment. And Bill Macy and Heather Graham with many different cocktails.
Yeah.
I hope that everyone
can you do that
enjoys
again?
Listening to people talking about something that they shouldn't be talking about.
Is anyone there?
Which is how great a job they did.
Hello. Well, come sit with me, because I have to sit here now. We need to do some work.
Come on, Joanna.
Come on.
We can sit. You can
and you
sit
can
up color. Here.
What?
I'm cooking up some bacon, too.
You got little people here.
Tommy.
How you doing?
You want, what do you, did you get your coffee?
Right here.
Come on.
All my mother on here?
That works, bro.
You want some eggs? I'll
cook
some
eggs.
You go for it. I'm ready.
The very first question, actually, Julianne, is the first question I'm asking everybody. Do you think that Louis Guzman was stoned when we were shooting?
No, that didn't even occur to me. No. Why, was he?
I think he was.
You think?
And because I remember walking over to him to give him just some kind of direction, like, you know, it's this big, complicated shot,
yeah,
playing
yeah.
the state of camera and thing, and looking at him saying, you're fucking stoned, aren't you? And he said, no, I'm not. And I guarantee, and then I think Mark was stoned because Mark had nothing to do except
I was going to say it was a really long night, so it's very possible. It's a really, really long night.
Do you like doing these long shots like this, like, as an actor, like, feel like, is it more fun, or is it less fun, or is it...
I don't know, it's a combination of things. I mean, long shots, it can be tedious, obviously, because there's so much going on that mm-hmm. you're just not going to complete it easily. But on the other hand, it's exciting when you get it right, and it's nice to have something that's
right.
like this.
Not that there's, like, a lot of acting going on
right.
here,
no, not
but...
in this one.
But... Isn't it easier to get, like, a run at it?
You can get a kind of a momentum, I suppose, with it. But often it's... Yeah, I don't know. I think it can be kind of exciting because there is so much going on and you really have a lot of lines, so
it gets
your adrenaline going.
Yeah, yeah.
The citizens of our...
And you got to drive with Bert in the car.
All night long.
They've stolen too
like
many lives and robbed our country.
You know? Yeah.
Bert driving in movies is, like, you know, a really important thing.
I think that he... I mean, yeah, he would back up the car himself and stuff, too. He did a lot of his own stunt driving.
You know why I love you as an actress, and then I'm getting into waxing your car. It's because there's this line coming up here where you say to Heather, you know, did you call that girl today? If you don't, then blah 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 blah.
That was great.
And I know certain actors that would come and say, like, well, what girl and where and how and why? You know, and what exactly is this?
Right.
I love you for not asking me that question.
Very much, thanks. And I love you for not asking me to tell you what girl I thought it was. Because I don't like that directors either when they come up to you and say, well, do you know who the girl is specifically and what is it that you're thinking of? Because sometimes I'm not thinking of anything.
Right.
Not the point.
Right.
You know, that's not the point.
And it's not the director's business.
No, exactly.
Nuclear.
It's not anybody else's business.
Professor, scientist, engineer, Dr. John Trump at MIT.
Okay, check it out. My question to you is, here's my first question. Do you remember the moment about 3 months after we had finished shooting the movie?
I love my country.
And you and Louis Guzman, don't get the phone. I'm gonna ask you a question. You and Louis Guzman came to the editing room, right?
Yeah. I love my country.
And sat down, and I showed you this that we're watching right now. The first, you know,
same.
I showed you the first 20 minutes, basically, of the film. Right? Do you remember?
Yeah, that was a funny day.
Do you remember how you felt?
We will be protected by God.
As far as what? Personally? About the movie? About what I saw?
I mean, so you'd spent all summer working on this movie,
right.
Gone away from it for like 2 months. It was like December, I remember, because we were going to the Midland Christmas party afterwards, right. And you and Louis came by. And I said, I'm gonna show you the first 20 minutes.
Right.
What the hell went through your head?
I was in a real weird place personally. You know, I just quit smoking and drinking and shit, and I was in a room. And I knew what the movie was going to be. You know, I predicted it. But But no, I wasn't really in a position to even watch.
I love everything
that's dead. I was waiting to see the finished movie. I remember Louis being terrified, saying, "What the fuck was that?" You know? And I know that you felt like I felt that way too, but I was just awkward and uncomfortable personally, you know?
But it's weird anytime you show an actor the movie for a first time. It's really weird. But I know now, a year later, that Louis was panicked that it was a major piece of shit. What did he say to you in the car?
Well, thank you.
After you left.
What the fuck? He looked at me dead serious. Interesting. I was like, what the fuck is that puppy? I don't know, man. I'm telling you. That fucking police fucking drugs, man. I don't know, man. That fucking thing looked fucked up to me, man.
And the sad thing about this hoax is...
And again, I was just dying to get home. So I said, yo,
we have loopholes.
Oh, no, until you see it.
Right.
I mean, we had all gone so far that we didn't know what it was. It was going to be.
So I mean, that's also seeing a 20-minute chunk. Do you remember the first time that you saw it? You know, when I showed it to you at the New Line screening room that time.
Especially when
you were happy.
Senators and all of these other people
have
actually
happy.
Done.
Do you remember this?
Which I didn't do.
Scene two.
Yeah.
What was that you were just doing then?
I was doing a little imitation of Bird doing his Irish accent.
Right.
Well, because he came on the first day, and I guess Paul told us to pull his friend out of the car, so he told it to you. I was talking to him for a few seconds.
Especially
that he couldn't really figure out his rhythm of writing,
right?
So he wanted to try it with an Irish accent. You know, was even considering, you know, trying to convince using Irish accent throughout the whole movie. And you came in and told me that, and
he's another beauty.
I kind of laughed. And, he actually came in. I thought it was a joke. He came in and started doing the dialogue.
You people should be ashamed of yourself. We have the
worst Irish accent you've ever heard.
But you can imagine,
right?
And they're more worried about that.
Well, I think
this was a scene that was, you know, 8 pages. It was like the most important scene of the movie.
First of all, then I refer to your democracy.
Out of any other scene, then I would be more than ready for that one.
I want you to tell that I'm impressed
what I was doing.
What American people have gained work out the way during this.
No, it didn't. This is what we're watching now is the reshoot, which we did at the end of the schedule. Because we'd shot it.
Whoever scheduled it, the second day of shooting was fucking
great. Well, that was my idea. I figured it would be a good thing. Yeah, you know. I figured that it would be a good thing. But yeah, I mean, as far as the Irish accent goes, I guess there are a lot of porno directors that are Irish.
It was a great thing for me. It was a great thing for me. You know? I think I was... Everything was shot perfectly and scheduled perfectly. You know, as far as, you know, the much more, you know,
right.
Crazy stuff, you know, doing in the movie to make you feel really comfortable. It's like, you know, that's the movie.
This is the man that takes any time, you understand?
Meaningful life.
Luego.
Hasta mañana.
Never do.
Yeah, that's what I do on the show.
I tell me or not, whether it does any good or not.
On what show?
And on what show you do.
I mean, that's something.
You know, on the Puzzling Evidence Show.
Two? Yeah.
Wow.
Back to it's the show. It's the show. Well, no, you got your own theme, which is Puzzling Evidence.
Some eggs, beauty.
No, I'm going to sleep
tonight.
I mean, that's
you know, Bert's got the rights to Deliverance too.
Deliverance too?
Yeah.
Wow.
Back to the lake.
Swear to God.
What is it? The kids go drunk on his body. And it's like,
you
no.
Be interesting to see. This is great.
This is Chico Hamilton Quintet in the stage, which is actually you. It is on their record. But then they were in this movie, Sweet Smell of Success, as the band in the movie. And then they're not only the band in the movie that plays in this movie, which is really prominent.
Evidence.
But then they use the songs they play sort of carry over as score. So it's kind of like scores. You know, sometimes it's source stuff, sometimes it's score. And it's in Sweet Smell of Success.
Thanks for tuning in.
Amazing.
Next up is Puzzling Evidence.
Give it up for Julian Moore.
What's remarkable to me, how often with movies that turn out well, people say, People often will say to me, my God, I mean, you know, how do you see this stuff in scripts? You know, how do you pick the scripts? How do you do it? You know, I really do think it's that because people really don't read the scripts out here. They don't. They simply do not read them. They say they've read them. They read the coverage. They actually haven't sat down with the script and read it, because if you did read Book of Nights, you'd know what it was instantly. It's impossible to miss. But I think what people really ended up doing was, you know, they saw the title. They knew what it was about. They skimmed it a little. They, you know, there were lines like the thing about the girl, and so then they didn't understand that.
Right.
And so they really hadn't fully read the script.
Right.
So the reaction then was usually, you know, you should do this, or you don't have to do this. That's what people would say to me. You know, you don't have. Why do you want to do this? You don't have to. When you know you have an opportunity to be like Boogie Nights, and then a big commercial, what they consider to be a surefire hit, they think, well, why are you going to, you know, why, you know, a bird in the hand.
Yeah.
So, it's usually in retrospect when people say, oh,
did you feel pressure from someone not to be at all?
I don't.
Away from them or their perspective on it. I mean, there must have been some kind of like.
You know, I pretty much make my own decisions and stuff. I mean, people will suggest things to me. And some of the people who represent me work, you know, the people who represent me are actually really terrific, because they know I'm going to make my own decision at the end of the day. So they will say, listen, you know, this is my opinion, but I know that you're going to, you know, and I was adamant that this was the movie that I was doing that summer. That I was going to do with the Fingerprints. And then I got the opportunity to Lost World, and I said, and this is the slot for Boogie Nights. This is what I'm doing. And there were other films that came up saying it would be. Might be more advantageous for you to do this, but they knew, you know, so you kind of, people make suggestions, but at the end of the day, you know, you
what I meant was, I don't got that kind of money on you.
Well, that's what I thought you meant.
Can I actually ask you a question about this that I actually have always
No, you don't.
Yeah, I do. I mean, this was pretty far into the schedule, but when I watched this scene in the when you're in your bedroom and you come in,
all right, folks.
You turn on the stereo and you take your clothes off, you know, and you get the big balls in your hands, da, 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 da. But I know we were far enough in the shoot that you did trust me, but because the scene really has no end, did you ever have a question of what? Because I never really explained it. I remember just saying, like, you go in here and then you gotta do karate and I'll call cut. Because it kind of goes on for a long time. I watch it every once in a while. It's like a Venetian surprise. Like, what the fuck was gonna happen if I ever told you it couldn't fade out, or what it was, or how it kind of felt? Did you know? Because I don't remember telling you.
Will Stryker reveal your generosity?
No. But it didn't feel uncomfortable or weird.
No. No, we were well into it by then. Although you kept complaining about my cheek leak. Is that what you called it?
Yeah.
I didn't know what the fuck he was talking about. He's like, fix the cheek leak or some shit. And I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Because your cheeks are leaking out of your shorts.
I know what it is now.
On the right and on the left there. You got that mark. No, like a bird butt.
It was hilarious.
You have a great butt, I think.
Well, thanks.
You're welcome.
I just thought it was hilarious.
Buzz droids.
Yeah. I was just thinking about that. And Joanna Gleason plays your mom.
She's the shit. And that means that's a good thing.
Yeah. She's pretty great.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll tell you the moment where I thought maybe you were not going to do a movie. The first costume fitting. And first costume fitting, and we went through all the regular costumes, and then we got to the outfit that you wear in the big fight with Speedo Jack, which is basically Speedo's headband and a boots and boots. And it said that in the script. That's why I felt like fuck you. It said it in the script. Speedo's.
But you know, thank you very much. I've worked with people before. You know, Paul's a little smaller than I am, and you know, if it came down to a physical thing, I'd come on top. But no, I figured, you know, maybe I could talk my way out of it, you know, and just say, well, maybe I could just, you know, wear a towel or something instead, you know.
Right.
But
you wouldn't.
It didn't work out that way. But by the time we got around to doing it,
when you're in the costume thing, you just thought, you know what, I'll fucking talk
fuck
him out of this.
I'll just say no. You know, we're fucking midway into shooting. What the fuck is he gonna do?
Right.
Like I said, if it comes down to a fight, he's looking. You know, myself up. So, because I had done that before.
We have on the line one of
Here's the scene where your son is there, and we shot this on the very first day of shooting.
First day, yeah.
Yeah.
And the commercial.
And the commercial, too.
This is the day when I went, I don't know what the this dude is doing. Like when you were doing the whip, when you were doing the whip pan, because I just remember at one point you were talking to Bob, and he said, well, I can kind of see us in the glass a little bit. That's all right. Okay.
Can someone give me Julianne, please?
Just
call Julianne.
The kid,
I need to talk.
Does the kid know what he's doing? His DP just said he could see the camera in them fucking glass, and he says, "Yeah, it's okay." But no, that's that's when I just went, "Hey, just go with it, man. Just go with it." And then I came to see what you were doing, and I went, "Okay,
right."
It's text.
My the thing that I remember here, Don, is the coffee cup, and I remember we saw this photo for some country and western outfit and some guy, and he just had a coffee mug, and we looked at it and we were like, fucking coffee mugs. Gotta have a mug.
I remember that. I remember that costume. Do you remember your costume, Vinny?
Oh, yeah. I had like three of them. It was as entertaining as doing the movie for
me. I'm saying.
Like,
wasn't it just amazing? Yeah. Like going, oh, that. Oh, yeah, that.
Oh, yeah.
I got it.
Then I felt compelled to act out every like possible character scenario in costume for the Polaroids.
Right. I saw your Polaroids. Yours and Mark's are hilarious.
I'm like posing and doing these ridiculous games like I'm jumping in the pool on the short. So.
For 1 year.
Well, Don, I was talking to Julia.
So how about we meet at my restaurant in a few hours?
Talk about calling her up, because I'm not sure if I really buy this story 100%. But talk about
calling her up and finding out, you know.
Oh.
Finding out what?
About me.
Oh, no, yeah.
Notice how he turned that around. Like, exactly. We were talking about the other actors when we were an hour.
No, we were, I met you at the restaurant, and then we talked about the gig, and I told you I had some slight misgivings because my parents were still alive and family that I cared about, and I didn't know how far this was going to go or what it was going to be. And I'd worked with Julianne before at the Guthrie, and, you know, I respected her, and we got along really well. I called her when I was doing Rebound, in fact, before I said I was going to do the movie, before I decided to do it. I called her 2 or 3 times just to talk about, you know, philosophically what the movie was going to be, because, you know, I'm like, I was nervous. And when I read your script, you were so specific, and a lot of the things that you put in there were very technical. So as I was reading it, a lot of times I lost the thread of the story because I was trying to figure out, oh, how's the camera going to move? What's he talking about? So I wasn't really sure. But Julianne said, no, look, this is the shit. The movie's going to be the bomb. It's not trying to be sensationalistic or, you know, just looking to show peepees and, you know, titties. It's going to be on. And that combined with, you know, your my meeting convinced me to that I did, except for that whole Mark incident. But yeah, I'm glad I did.
And now you have 3 really close ups of these horses, and there's the blue ribbon that you obviously won for horseback riding. And then there's your butt. And my question is, this close up of you coming up. Remember what happened when we shot this? This one right here. Do you know why you're so good? Because it's the rehearsal that I was rolling on. Don't answer the phone. Oh, checking your caller ID. Do you remember?
Hello?
Where you gotta go? The airport.
Yeah, right.
Over my dead body, if need be.
Whoa. All right, I'll call you back. Bye.
Okay. Who is that?
Where are you going?
To eat.
Did you get kind of a semi when you were rubbing up against her? See?
No.
Really? She's kind of cute though. Did you ever get like a half a boner in any of the sex scenes that we did?
No.
job to wax my car.
It was my idea.
I like the story when we met, right? After there was a reading. And then you're like, oh, meet me. I want to talk to you. And we met at that bar. And then we went to the Formosa. And you're like, oh, I want you to meet Mark, right? And you just offered Mark the party. Like, oh, this is Roller Girl. And it's like, then I knew that I had the job that night.
Tell the story again. Because you're telling it to me because I know it.
Okay,
tell the story
right.
In the context. Like, tell it to Fiona. Okay. Because she doesn't know. You know what I mean?
Like, I went in to read for the movie. You know, and I really liked the script. And then Paul, like, took me outside after. And he was like, talking to me. And then my agent calls. Like, well, he wants to meet with you and talk to you for drinks. So I met him at La Poubelle, where we were the other night. And so we were talking, and we talked about a few things, and like, clear, like, we just, you were really so honest and like upfront, which is cool about the nudity. You're just like, this is exactly how it's going to be, no more, no less, which I thought was really cool, because a lot of directors are just really vague about it, and you feel sort of slightly exploited, because you never feel like you know what's happening to you, but you were just like, this is what's happening. And then you're like, oh, let's go meet Mark Wahlberg, and I sort of knew he was doing it, and so I was like, wow, you know, this is kind of cool. And then I was sitting there, and you're like, this is Roller Girl, and I was just like, so happy, because I wanted to really wanted a job, and I was just like, like, I knew that I had it at that moment. I was trying to be cool. I remember just trying to be cool. Like, yeah, hi, you know? But it was funny. And then I went home. I was very happy. And I remember Mark was getting picked up on right by that girl. Yeah, she's like, and he's like, and then like the night was over. Like, oh, I'll take you back to your car. And then Mark's like, went back over to talk to the girl.
But you can't, did you have a crush on Marky at all while we were shooting?
You know what? I didn't like know his work from his other movies. I just knew the ads sort of vaguely. And I remember looking at him thinking, I can see why you cast him, you know? I mean, just hearing his name, I thought, oh, Marky Mark, you know, I didn't know anything. But I, when I met him, I thought, yes, something like,
all
really
these
interesting.
Years, Jeff, that makes me sad.
Hey, he's really sexy, you know?
I'll give you a lift in the truck.
I'll see
you. They were going to follow me, Jeff.
I know.
And I came to my senses.
Breast pump, because I was bringing it, you know, for him.
Yeah.
Immediately, she was just going on and on about how important it was to breastfeed.
I didn't know she studied to become halfway.
Something like that, yeah.
Really?
Before she became an actress.
Business
I know. You don't want to press. About it is
appealing. The traffic will. And I have to say, coming up here is one you get that happy feel. Well, I guess I'm saying it's a favorite line. I wrote it. But the way that you say it, just the way that you say you're great. After you kiss him, you know.
Yeah.
There's just something kind of nice. And then the way you bend down.
Yeah. Well, you know, did you see my shoes, though? I had to bend way down like that.
She's a wonderful mother, you know. She's a mother to all those.
She's really nice.
You know what I'm thinking?
Did you honestly at any moment have a thing where you felt like...
What do you...
Maybe second guest yourself or your instinct to do this movie or to be naked in this movie. Because that's the big thing. That's what everybody wants to talk about. But there is, you know, I can understand why they can ask. I can understand that because I think everybody's going there and like, that's an experience they don't have. What the fuck is it like to take your clothes off?
I think everyone secretly is like fascinated by it and like, why is everyone so into it?
Maybe.
Do you think that all see people, everyone wants to do it or something? Or?
I don't know. I mean, did you want to do it before? Did you have an instinct like, I want to take my clothes off in a movie and I need to find the right mood to do it? Or was it just like, this is the good
part? Well, I
thought,
like, I was thinking it'd be cool to be in a movie, like, about sex. Like, I think that's really interesting, you know?
Yeah.
And to do something out there, but I don't know if I was really like, I gotta be naked in a movie, you know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
But I mean, there is a certain, like, you feel like out there, you know, kind of like crazy wild, like I'm doing this crazy wild thing, you know?
Right.
And it's kind of cool to just think, ah, yeah, I did that, you know?
And you felt like, did you feel excited by it? So then, like, so you were kind of like, not turned on, but like, is there something kind of thrilling about it?
I think that on the day, it was I was kind of nervous, you know?
Yeah.
And when I did it, and I thought, you know, I was trying to think as this person, this means nothing to me. Not as me, Heather, this is, like, kind of crazy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just thinking this is nothing. But afterward, I think the day, it wasn't really a turn-on. But when I thought about it afterwards, it was kind of a turn-on, like, that I did that,
yeah,
you know?
Right.
And the idea of thinking about doing it. But when I actually did it, it didn't really turn me on, because I was just, like, nervous, you know?
I mean, you've done sex scenes before in movies, right? Honestly. Were you nervous at all?
No.
You weren't. No, I know, but were you nervous for her? Were you nervous for the scene? Were you nervous for anything? Because I was fucking shaking, so just pretend like
you're... I wanted her, you know... I was trying to make her as comfortable as possible.
I know. Because she'd never done a sex scene.
The window and what did I see? I really didn't think about
it. Right. But it must be nice to have Heather naked on top of you.
I think it was only one scene where I was nervous.
Which one?
The scene at the house.
And you're fighting with your mom?
Yeah.
Really?
Just because we weren't too specific. It was just a time.
Tell me. What? What were we trying to do while we were talking?
Just remember, you know, us kind of talking. Nervous like that?
Yeah. Maybe you're just a good actor.
I'm acting, Paul.
You will have a talk.
Yeah, we did that. We watched that thing.
You will extend thoughtful gestures of friendliness
towards the very end. I didn't have it in for the longest time. It was just the fight.
And comfortable in your presence.
I guess I and a lot of other people always wondered, well, where's the dad?
Absolute you know,
to say something or protect him or, you know, jump in.
You will become rich.
So I think it's good to see him. Yeah.
In the exact before you do.
This is your line. Do you know the line? Okay, what's the line?
You don't speak to me. No.
You don't be mean and you don't talk to me.
No.
No.
Yeah.
You hated that fucking line.
Remember the no at the end? I always kept saying,
can you change that? Or you asked me to give you a line reading. You actually just said, just tell me how you want me to say it. At that point, it was like,
yeah.
Just you say it. You say how you say it.
Yeah.
Did it work when I said that?
Yeah.
Now, okay.
Dun, dun, dun.
Probably my favorite moment of yours. It's on the back of your head. There's a moment, and it says, "What kind of music do you like?" And Mark says, "Rock, jazz, classical." And then he keeps going, and I don't really know why, but I think it's so funny. I think the way that you say it is really funny.
Rock, jazz, classical.
Rock, jazz, classical. You know, I'm very worldly. Now,
Now, yeah! Okay! Let's talk about something important. Let's talk about first John C. Reilly. Well, I would have to say that I personally like the scene on. I like the two of you in this scene.
I love this scene.
But
this is one of the funniest scenes in the world.
Yes, it's very good. You're very good looking away there. And so we can wax each other's car about it all day. But there's a weird moment that happened between you and Reilly at the end of this day. And I don't know what happened. Well, let me tell you. I know that you guys got along. You're best fucking friends. And suddenly, I look around and you're fucking pushing each other. Go, fuck you! Fuck you! What are you going to do? And then you storm off and he storms off. And I say, when did you two guys turn into jackasses? What just happened here? And then obviously the next day everything was fine. What the fuck were you fighting about?
Me and you were giving him a hard time. He went for an audition or something, a meeting or something.
Right.
And, you know, we were kind of rehearsing and just figuring out the nonsense. He had so much shit to do, and I don't know if he just messed up a lot of stuff. We were all just kind of giving each other a hard time like we always done.
Right.
And then we started throwing marshmallows.
Yeah, I remember.
And this was after we were walking away. So I had another marshmallow in my lap, and I threw the marshmallow and hit him in the head. That was the funniest thing I ever saw. And he just fucking got very upset.
Yeah.
And he fucking come running at me. Yeah. So he fucking pushed me.
Yeah, yeah.
And fell down. And then, of course, I know what happens. Somebody goes like that. It's not like that anymore. My entire mask is
dead. Right, right.
You know? And I didn't. Everything flashed in my mind for the first time in my life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the consequences flashed in my mind. Of course, you know, I was very upset by that because we were all playing around and he was the one who took it to that level, you know, so I was...
Well, you threw a marshmallow at his head.
He had thrown a marshmallow at his head before that. You know, we were all throwing marshmallows.
I mean, a guy throws a marshmallow at a man's head.
It's all funny games until somebody gets hurt, you're right.
Absolutely.
And obviously, the marshmallow hurt him, so he was still upset. You know?
Actually, a wonderful thing.
It was, you know, I don't know,
Well, the wonderful sort of epilogue to this is that it took the shot is coming up where the next day of shooting, we were shooting the scene where you are sitting there and it's just a Scotty's point of view of you and Reilly sitting in those lawn chairs. And you guys had to sit in the baking sun for about 2 hours while I tried to get that shot into the Iris Inn, right? And you were still fighting at that point. It was like early the next day. And there you are, just silent. Not saying a word to each other. And the wonderful thing is, by the end of shooting that scene, I think you guys had straightened it all out.
There was some pool throwing incidents.
Throwing
each other in the pool.
Never put 14 Uniacs around the pool because people will be pushed in and then someone's going to take it too far. And I guess you did.
Programmers at stations like WMCA New York.
I'm going to take the rap for this.
Well, you can take this opportunity to apologize for throwing the marshmallow.
I apologize. You know, for having the better arm. You know, because there was marshmallows being thrown my way too.
Let me ask you a question. Do you think Louis Guzman stoned in this scene?
Oh yeah.
The spirit of American cereal is only one part of your on the air image.
I knew it. I'd say faster, you know.
No, just
rest.
Say,
okay. And it would go slower.
Try to rest, right?
I think he was stoned.
Shut up, but you have to ask him that, Paul.
I should, right?
I think everybody's high all the time.
You go back to sleep.
I got a swarm bourbon.
Go to sleep.
You go. I think you ought to go home and get some.
No.
Well, you know what? I'm really sorry that I woke you up. You get
he
some rest.
He certainly wasn't.
I'd be stressing too.
Hey, don't you have a sleep?
Get some sleep.
All right.
This fellow's going.
One of the first. So we're looking at little.
Let you get some sleep,
girl.
Oh yeah.
You need to sleep.
Did you have sex with her?
Well, no.
The little guy.
No, this girl, Grace.
Oh no. Is that her name?
Yeah.
No.
Get some sleep.
Like no other bicentennial station.
Do you remember shooting this scene? Do you remember how many takes we did?
Yeah.
How many?
I left the turn on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of
I think we did
some sleep.
That should be
35, 38,
35,
and 107.
The hair and the fucking makeup
and
just being picked and pulled at all.
That's the thing. That's true. Well, that's the thing. Is that, you know, for anybody that doesn't know, you have tattoos all over your body. Well, practically. And the makeup that is required. You've got tattoos that are very visible if you're doing a scene where a guy's swimming in a pool with trunks on, so you did have to go through makeup to cover that.
Can't put it back in the hole.
I don't know, maybe we shot this scene beforehand where you're before the big fight between you and Riley. Jesus.
Were they rocket signs?
It wasn't the same.
I don't know, it wasn't, but
he had been landing on his back all day,
I will say, on the fly. Like,
yeah, he could have had all kind of personal problems, too.
We're pretty lucky to get to work.
Right. Can I ask you a question? Seriously, do you think Louis Guzman is still in the scene?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I fucking knew it. I knew it.
Oh, yeah.
What a dick.
Look at Don Cheadle's outfit.
Thanks
for the radio signal. Wrong
Don, do you remember shooting the scene with Louis?
Jesus.
Because,
I remember really being
excited by that scene.
Everything is going extremely well.
Because it's like one of those scenes where I think we're, just the way
the audience
written,
knows exactly what
happened. I'm very proud of it in the way that it happens, but I did realize, like, I think when we were going to the scene that day to shoot it, like, well, I hope Louis or Don doesn't ask me anything, because the way it really appeared on the page was just nothing. Like, there's a phone call. Hello, Maggie? No, hang on 1 second. No, what was that? Some kid looking for his mom. Like, there's no real meat on it. And I was just hoping, like, I hope they don't want to fuck with this. I say, and
Neil is staring at the phone.
Said, look at the phone, basically. It's a buck. That's what Buck heard.
That was the first thing too with me when I saw the movie. Like, look at that shit. Oh, we were all kind of, it was kind of like a friendly commentary. Everyone.
Oh, you think that's stupid?
Yeah.
Oh, you
ain't seen it. You need Olympics.
So, Macy, before we get to the meteor shot, there's a couple what did your agents and managers say to you? I mean, was there any sort of hesitation on their part about participating? Because, you know, I mean, I'll be the first one to be proud of the script, but like, Marvel was there, and there was a sort of scared
and the
thing,
things
like,
that were carrying Kmart or 7-Eleven. That's one that used to carry Playboy and Penthouse. I mean, I remember. I'm just telling you, riding my bike to 7-Eleven as a kid.
So if you don't,
and going to get a baseball trading cut.
I think it's difficult.
I could look behind the counter,
and this
right
was particularly
was
difficult
Penthouse
to read
and Playboy
because you had to.
This afternoon,
charging
you
my 48 cents or whatever a slurpee
was about,
used
but
to
the film itself doesn't have a moral, a through line, a punchline. Put on top of the thing. So what you have to do is put all the scenes together and realize what it's about.
All those records you use for production
could miss it. And I think one of the reasons so is because from a writer's point of view, you didn't indicate at all. It does. We are going somewhere. We know that.
Yes.
But you don't. You don't give us any clues. I mean, it's up to us to decide where it's going to go.
So I'm pretty much the best director you've ever worked with. Probably the best writer.
Oh yeah.
You will practice this principle each day of your life. And in so doing.
Yeah.
The best thing about it is that everybody has a different way of speaking. And normally when you see, like, when you really, like, try to separate the writing in a movie and you try to just listen to what they're saying and imagine it on the script and paper, it's like everybody talks in the same way. Everybody talks like a writer or a storyteller or something like that. Everybody in this movie really has their own voice and their own way of speaking. So they all have their own phrases and
how do you do that?
You give everybody their own little fucking,
shot.
Syntax, they're shot. Yeah, shot. You know.
Yeah. Not only do they all have their own voice, but I think you really directed the actors. Everybody's clearly going someplace. And nobody's adding a lot.
lot to it.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I know.
I think she's sick.
I didn't do anything.
But you didn't hear that.
Is she breathing?
Body falls,
I don't know.
Kicks, punches.
I remember every day going to the set, like, come on, really. I don't know, it's just it's only a microcosm. Like, I wasn't in a long run.
People see this movie and it's going to become this whole thing. It's going to, you
know,
why do you think that happens? I don't know. We just create because you got all the actors. There's so many actors in the movie that
very strategic in which ones like, body falls.
Super notebook, different people to make our own little world.
Nice reverberation, but you could always trim that down.
Three or four people, and then we'd all go home to our families or whatever. Like all these people together all the time, became this whole little world unto itself.
To go along,
and it was like if things were going good. If we were having a good time,
to it, then we have body fall in on a very low price point. But you can see here that we have blocks, body falls, that has nice reverberation, but you good kicks here, a really different character. We have blocks, body fall, sound like.
Do you know where the children are?
Ron Hicklin.
Shut up.
No, this is great. When the gate almost hits him out of the way.
Bill Hoffman.
But when he pulls it down, that to me is that's
when he pulls his shirt down.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
This is
and it pops right down.
The center of Phil's character is the way he holds his arm. And he puts right here. He puts one hand on his elbow.
Hey, I gotta get over there.
It's like trying to hide his body.
Right back.
No,
that is probably the sleaziest I look in the whole movie. Right there. I got a little bit of Jerry curl in the hair. I appear kind of stoned on Qualudes or something.
Qualudes?
Yeah. Qualudes? Whatever. Qualudes.
Yeah, like you don't know.
Actually, I kind of missed them, actually.
I want to go back because actually I talked to Marky about the marshmallow throwing incident.
Yeah, that's what I was going to. Yeah.
And
I wanted to talk about that.
I got his take on the marshmallow throwing incident. And
what is his take on it?
His take was, you know, I don't know what happened. And things got a little out of line. And I threw a marshmallow and hit him in the head. And he got really upset. And tempers flared up. And everything was okay the next day. And that's kind of what he said.
Yeah, okay. So this is what happened. Mark, at the beginning of the movie, and he tempered it somewhat as we went on. But at the beginning,
capital, the Lincoln Memorial, and the World War II Memorial have been vandalized. One of our most historic churches was set ablaze. A federal officer in California, an African American enforcement hero,
was
shot
in the pool four times or something, where it's like just not funny.
These are not acts of peaceful
kind of high school pranksterism.
These are acts of domestic terror.
They just kind of pushed me in the pool, then we're going back and forth. And I made the mistake.
Your words and lies and hate campaign is to divide us, you. I'm not as bad as decades of crying. I'm not feeling like I'm crying, you. With your voice like nails on a chalkboard, picking me out.
Collaborated with someone else to get him into the pool. We did knock him into the pool. I remember being knocked into the pool with a robe on and like clothes and the whole thing. It was a nightmare. Anyways, going on and on. Then people started throwing marshmallows around the set. Then people were getting, I was getting hungry and I get like, I have that problem with low blood sugar. If I don't eat, I get like really aggro. The only time I have temper flip is when I haven't eaten. And they were throwing marshmallows around and I was like, I'd had it. And I remember there was a whole controversy about whether you were going to shoot coverage of the Reed's introduction scene. And I was a little worried about that. Like, you actually put that bug in my ear from watching other movies that I've been in and saying, oh, he didn't know how to introduce your character. Man, look at that. He just leaves you in his background and you kiss the first time your character appeared. I didn't even have that thing in my head before talking to you. And anyway, so that whole thing earlier in the day where I was kind of dominating him, and then the coverage of the scene thing I was worried about, and then, I realized I was not going to be able to dominate him the whole time because our characters need to run. This weird kind of cross between my character felt and what I felt, and I was like, totally dominating this guy all morning.
I remember,
right now, before I go aggro, I was walking with my head down,
Anders.
Into the house, get out of the yard, and mark it with some marshmallows. Where? In the center of the forehead.
Yesterday, Anderson Cooper interviewed
so humiliating
Trump.
I went into a rave and rushed him and, like, tried to play. I don't know what I thought I was going to do. He could probably smash my skull with one punch. Incredibly strong guy. He couldn't believe he was stunned that someone was A, would actually try to attack him, and B, that it was me. He thought we were really good friends, but I don't know. And then you talked me down, I ate.
And now we turn on the 16 track.
You've got a 16 track recorder?
What do you mean?
Were you nervous about, topic or...
No.
Yeah, you weren't, right?
No. Dining? Because, you know, it transcends the topic, and it's about... the movie's more about people.
Right.
Then... Ooh!
Did you... I just want to make sure that it's really clear that what happened was... Newline was really sort of pushing me to, because the cast at the time, was not incredibly...
Don't worry about that either. We can take certain liberties.
And then you said, what?
Now, what I want to do is play this TM cut.
I offered the part to Patricia Arquette, who I think is great. But I also knew what really wanted to do it. I was sort of biding my time, creating a situation where, in their eyes, we would just have to guess, oh, well, I know we don't know her, but she's great. Her name is Laura Walters.
I'm like, well, it's not going to happen. And he's like, I'm a gambler. You got to trust me. I'm like, just read the script. Tell me what you think. I'm like, no, I don't want to read the script because, remember? I was like, I don't want to because I don't want to read it and fall in love and then find out I can't do it.
And you were convinced that I was not going to be able to get you in this part because the studio wasn't going to allow.
Right.
But you had known that, right? You had known that the studio was like, wait a minute, you got to put a star in it. You're going to put a star in this part. And I was saying, oh, sure.
That's my girlfriend here.
I met Patricia. I thought
we got the Secret Service over here.
But I knew it wasn't going to do it, and I was just sort of waiting.
It's pretty cool.
Until the very last minute.
You dork.
And your part shot the very first day.
Right.
So the concept was, we'll just turn around, and the studio will have no choice, and they'll just see the dailies, and they'll be just acting like
and it worked.
Trump is kind of the guy.
It just feels beats in his pace. In this are just sick. You look really hot. You look really sexy. It's like what's up with the oral fixation, the chewing the pen? It's just it's all working, man. It's just all working. Standing in the room and him having to tell him, hey man, could I get a second here?
Give me a minute.
But he's so gone.
Yeah.
He's so just gone, and that he really has to. It reminded me of in A Fish Called Wanda when the dude's explaining the plot to Kevin Kline, and Kevin Kline's staring right at him, and he finally says, "Like, hey, are you listening?" He goes, "Oh yes." He's been staring directly at him the whole time. It's like he's just lost in dirt. He's just lost.
I stick to the
greatness.
And this is great. This is great. Great. Great.
Yeah.
This is
great. My
favorite
Bert. Yeah,
me too.
Yeah.
Me too.
When Mark says,
yeah, man.
Zonder fantasie. Kun je er even aan bij maken?
Ja.
Nou, jullie schrijven een prachtig verhaal. En dan zeg je in het regen. Ja, geweldig. Geweldig. Maar de transcendent moet mij betalen.
Ja.
Voor die ene dag regen.
Ja.
Dus over het filmpje zou je hebben.
Nou.
Ja. Nou, dat...
Okay, let's get a good
ik kan me voorstellen.
Buttons. Two lines with me?
No, buttons.
Maakt uit waar je...
This is where you are my idol.
Yeah. Do you remember what the hell did you do? Because you nailed the porno.
I don't know what it was. It was like something that I really don't think it's the writing. I mean, not to throw the ball back at you, but if something's not written correctly and well and rhythmically, I can't do it. I can't make it up. It's just content that's there. But rhythmically, there was something about it that was off. Like there was always one too many. I don't know. There was one too many words. hurt. So it made, you know, that's how the rhythm made sense that way. I don't really even know, but I have to say it's the writing.
Well,
my fellow Americans.
Actually, two things just to jump to. I mean, this, by the way, too, again, just waxing your car on, come on my stomach and my tits if you can. Because you know what? That was
a great line. You can't mess it up.
No, that's not true, is that you can mess that line up. Because there are a million actresses that would have played the gag and winked and said, like, you know, I know what I'm saying, and I don't really want to say this in some way.
Yeah.
And you say it, and it's so beautiful, and it's so sincere, and it's just like, it breaks your heart and you laugh at the same time, and you just go.
But it is, it's a great line. But then if you think, like, in any other situation, I mean, somebody asked me what the difference is between the pornography world. Oh, now, you laughed every time I did this, and you almost ruined every take.
RadioValencia.fm.
And then you go, and I'd say, stop it. Every single time, you laughed.
No, I that's the truth that I did, but have you ever, I asked you to look into the camera, and I remember you kind of saying, what the hell is this?
I was very scared. No. I don't like to do that. I don't like to look
especially
right
at
that makes me very nervous.
Now, I mean, okay, I'm not going to ask you for your acting tricks or anything.
To keep
I know you already explained about what is this? The lean forward.
Okay, now this. Okay, this I can. This
Rudy
is like
Valencia
kind of
is supposed to be a cool thing.
You know, when you first start out acting, you're extremely self-conscious. You know, physically doing stuff is just it's so difficult. So this is somebody who's not an actor and doesn't know what to do with her body necessarily. Certainly, when she's just supposed to be talking. So I wanted to make every gesture self-conscious. So even when, I turned myself in the chair, my intention is really to turn the chair around, but I get kind of stuck. So I can't get all the way around, so I have to do it in two parts. And so then I realize I'm too far away from the desk to address him, so I have to bring my entire body back.
We can hear you. Go ahead and ask your question.
So it's really all about
being... No, we'll get a relay to us.
So that every nothing. You know, nothing. So that's really all that's...
God bless you. God bless you.
But I mean, I just take that from my own experience of being like a young actor who doesn't know what to do with their hands.
Sure.
So,
well, it just kills me every time I see it. God bless you. And here you are. We call this the 70s.
Everywhere.
But how does it? Do you think when? I mean, because I know this has been a thing for you. Is like, fucking. I'm not going to talk about taking my clothes off and fucking shortcuts again.
They commit. Like, does that fuck you up?
Because now it's like you've got to think like. Because you've got to handle 40 like annoying questions about taking your clothes off that you have to think then. Now this is fucking me up as an actress because now I can't look at this and sort of honestly say that's something I want to do for me and my gut.
No, because I don't have any problem with that.
Right.
I mean, I've done, you know, like I think I've said a million times if something is pertinent to the story,
finally like pushed her over the edge,
then it's pertinent and important to the movie. If it's not, it's gratuitous and don't do it. And I don't feel it in my career.
He's really on the edge.
I've done, you know, I made the mistake of doing one thing once that was gratuitous, and I never
made it
again.
Right.
So, you know.
This is a bit over the edge.
Get him! No!
He tells him to call him Dirt. Please call him Dirt on the set. He's like, hey, man. Yeah. Absolutely.
You have to say, you know,
he screamed, I screamed, and then all I remember is seeing his blue shirt bounce over the edge.
I have a lot of respect. I mean, even though he was kind of a high-maintenance person to get along with, he's been through a lot in his life, and I can understand him being a high-maintenance person. And the fact is, he was so much older than everyone else in the movie for most of the scenes that he was doing, except for, like, Bob Ridgely and Philip Baker Hall. He rose to the challenge, you know? He was kind of like, he was really out of his element. And he's taking a big risk, and he did really well, you know? And he's a different, he's from a different school of acting, you know? And a lot of people knew you were a different school of acting, you know? Everyone has their own way of getting things done, and he really, I don't know, he really rose to the occasion, and the kind of
personal stuff that happened after filming the movie, and some of it during the movie, is unfortunate. But I have a lot of respect for him, even though it's easy to paint him as this kind of ridiculous character who's completely deluded. You know, he's definitely paid his due, and he deserves respect. And ultimately, he really is a huge asset to the movie.
Yeah.
You know, whether he knew exactly how the things he was doing were coming across at the time, is almost beside the point, because what it is in the movie.
My guess is, if I'm sitting here, I kind of recognize a weird irony, is that the way that you might have felt in seeing what Mark was doing and going, God, this is a disaster, and only really knowing about what you were doing. But somehow personally we could relate, and we could express that to each other. And the same for you. Like, well, I didn't really know what the whole movie was. I knew what I was doing, and it just felt good, and you knew that you could make me laugh. And it actually helps me appreciate the situation with Bert a little bit more. I didn't have that personal connection to him that I do to you guys and everyone else in the movie.
Yeah, really. He was everyone else out in the movie, you had a strong personal relationship with.
Contemporaries,
right? And clap hands.
So I think maybe it helps me understand that Bert was just out to see like everyone else, but we weren't also then going out to fucking beers afterwards and like sleeping over at each other's house, you know? So it helps me understand.
He was probably advised by people, some people, that this was a risky thing for him to do and be careful. Whatever.
It's all connected. Hot cinnamon.
Jack.
Hot,
I could do it again if you need a close up.
Hot cinnamon.
She's been there, man. But do you remember the day we were in the house?
You have to go back. Oh, I'm sorry. Hot. That was a shot I wanted to point out. It was the PTA special.
Mix it into
When he picks the shoe off the rack, and you're on one side of Mark, and he picks up the shoe, and all of a sudden, I am on the other side of him. It's just like in Heartache when
I did not know that
Sam Jackson asked me for a cigarette, and when I light it, by the time he lights it, you're all...
One quarter teaspoon of salt.
Okay. You're an actor.
Clever. Clever camera move, Paul.
Thank you.
Kudos.
And then we're coming up on Don Cheadle and John Reilly doing magic
Don't
together.
Forget this
talk.
Cinnamon.
One explain third this, because this was
milk.
Like dream team. Like, I'm getting John Reilly and Cheadle together in the same scene.
Cool.
And one quarter teaspoon of salt.
I was worried that that wasn't going to work out.
Tiny baby.
You did? I liked it when we were rehearsing it, and by the time we did it, I felt
cinnamon.
Fun.
Salt.
Didn't you? I felt like it was so funny while we were rehearsing it, and then by the time we did it, I just was like,
do I have to Google it?
It was funnier.
And one half teaspoon of caraway
seed. We're trying to figure out which one was to fuck up.
You and I would make each other laugh so hard all the time, like outside the set, that when they came in, the pressure was on, like, we can't not be funny, you know? Like,
1 10½ ounce can of tomato rice soup.
I felt kind of like screwed in a way, because I think it was one of, maybe I'm wrong, but I think it was one of the first things we shot in that disco.
King crab meat.
Yeah. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And I remember having the realization at that when we're trying to do that thing, we should be talking loud above the music.
Right.
Because, and then of course I watch the movie, or we do the rest of the scenes, myself included, and we don't really try to compensate for the sound and the rest of the scene in that way. So that's my only mistake.
Like,
we were really playing the noise in the room there, and then in other places in that same scene, I didn't play it.
And there's the...
This movie, I just showed you to do that. It's very disconcerting to you.
And then there's the meaning.
That's not catch. That's not...
This is butter. Butter ice cream. Yes, I can see that.
Parallel. 1 teaspoon of lemon juice.
We both think. They both married actors.
And brown sugar.
Children.
That's fine.
And we're both actors. And we're artists.
Unfortunate that maybe it would have been interesting to have actually had you do the oil painting. I mean, every time I see the movie now, I'm dexing as we breeze past the workhouse.
What are you
doing? Do you know I almost ruined one of your paintings?
How?
Because they gave me these brushes, and there was no paint on them. But I guess somebody had used them, and they cleaned it with turpentine.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, and then I realized I was lifting paint up.
green peas, commercial mix.
That's just gross. You can't put peas in
it. But I don't
I love this. Now, how do you do this?
One-third cup of orange juice. It's,
the split screen was done. We
all right,
the
we're moving on to
the words were done.
Do that
yeah, basically. Like an animation.
A sandwich.
I wrote out the article. And
one half teaspoon of lean Perrin's Worcestershire sauce.
And described the camera, and he did a lot of tests on his computer to show us how it would look, and then basically just shot